All right, your blue sheet is your quiz. We'll give you about 4 more minutes. Let's go over quiz number 9. 2 weeks ago, we took a look at Article 18, Freedom of the Will. 5 true and false. Man has some measure of freedom of the will, says the Augsburg Confession. Does he have some measure in order to lead an honorable life? It is true. To make choices among the things that reason can comprehend. True, he does have free will in those areas. To make himself acceptable to God. False. To expel inborn evil lust from his heart. Can't do that either. False. To act in matters pertaining to God. False. I guess now that I look at that, now that you say...
Well,
the church,
that's pertaining to God. Be baptized.
Right.
Another one.
It's somewhat vague. I'll go with that one.
Oh, you get to go.
Yep. The point with the free will, and that gets to number 6. In what sense does man have freedom? And the confessions actually say freedom to choose good, that man, you know, and so you go, well, in what sense? You know, normally would say, well, no, man's got a sinful nature. He's evil. And so he's always does. Well, here the confessions say he does have freedom to choose good. In what sense?
Righteousness.
Civil righteousness is the theological term for that.
By man's reason. Civil righteousness by man's reason.
By man's reason.
I say we talked about natural knowledge and having a God gives a conscience.
Yeah, the Augsburg Confession says things like in externals or in outward behavior, it may be those kind of things. It talks about in this one the those things capable by nature, civil righteousness, those kind of things. You know, nevertheless, as it goes on, it does also say in here, it does not enable him to act in matters pertaining to God. Direct quote is where I got that from before. But, so give me an example of these things with number 7. What is something that is a good that man is capable of doing without faith in the Holy Spirit?
Helping his neighbor. Mm-hmm.
Doing what?
Helping his neighbor.
Helping his neighbor.
Going to church or not going to church?
Going to church or not going to church? Mm-hmm. Outwardly, externally, good, but
paying taxes.
Paying taxes. Yes, taking a wife. Visiting a friend. You know, it goes on to talk. Engaging in a trade. Serving your neighbor. All of these. Outwardly, they may be something good. Number 8. We took a look at Article 29. The cause of sin is 2 things. The will of
man.
The will of all men would be the second one.
And the devil.
And the devil. The devil and all evil men, yep. We began Article 20, faith in good works. Lutherans are accused of forbidding good works. And it happens to list 2 reasons why they are accused of forbidding good works. What are those?
I can only remember one.
You can remember one? Give it.
Works don't save.
Lutherans go around saying works don't save. And so we're accused of forbidding good works. That's not really, you know, but that's exactly one of them. What else? Tony?
Well, along the same. We believe in faith alone. So when you say faith alone, then I don't even talk about words.
So then all of a sudden you say, oh, well, didn't God give the 10 commandments? You keep telling me faith alone. You know, you're kind of excluding. You know, why do they? Yeah, because we're not saying it. Now, when we say those things, what are we doing? We're saying, well, when we're talking about justification, You know, if we're talking about how you're getting saved, of course, good works don't, they're not in this equation. What else? There's actually another, I put two, but.
The other one is that you can't work away your sins by, you can't expiate your sins by work. In other words, you can't pay for your sins by working, right?
Yes. This merit, this idea that they merit, and we're going to come back to that. That is, you know, the heart of all these things.
You said that we spoke against the monks and the monasticism. That whole life was based on salvation by good works. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's right or not.
Yeah, that's actually the other one I was thinking of, which is kind of interesting. Because the Lutherans came out against things like rosaries, going into the monastery, all, you know, all of these kind of churchly kind of things. And they said, oh, well, you guys, you know, are against good works. And we said, no. And then we went on to talk about, you know, what works are we really, we're talking about real works. Well, you guys don't do fasting, and you don't have distinctions of foods, and you don't, you know, require whatever, candles, vestments, you know. That was one of the things that we looked at 2 weeks ago. Last of all, finish the statement. Whoever imagines that he can accomplish this, that would be the salvation, this by works, or that he can merit grace,
is wrong.
What did you say, Tony?
Is wrong.
Is wrong. I guess I can't call that.
Despises Christ.
The quote is, despises Christ. And yeah, that's where it goes. It is wrong. But that's what we... see, despises Christ. I think there was I think it mentioned two things in the quote. Despises Christ. The other is seeks his own way to God. Seeks his own way to God. Could have been the other one that you could have put in connection with that. That gets us through quiz 9. Anything else with that one? Let's move forward. We're still on our Unaltered Augsburg Confession. And we're moving through the articles. We're getting to the end of the ones that are of, we would say, the overview of the faith itself. Later we'll get to the abuses. But we got through the cause of sin. We're in the middle of faith and good works. There's about a paragraph, maybe two, dealing with of the cult or worship of the saints. So let's keep going with that. I've got it up here on the board so that we can all kind of follow along with it. They talked about childless and useless works. We're not talking about those things. We're talking about real good works. We're talking about the chief article of the Christian faith, which is justification, which comes about by faith itself. The point that the Lutherans make, our works cannot reconcile us, nor can we obtain grace by them. That comes only through faith. There we have the reference to despising of Christ. This, number 12, under that no new interpretation is introduced here, can be demonstrated from Augustine. And so we're going back to the church fathers and saying, wait a minute, this has always been taught. When we get to the summary statement for this, the Lutherans will quite boldly say, what we teach is what the scriptures teach, what the Christian church has taught of old, and what the Roman church teaches, and as far as it holds to this here. Their point, again and again, is that we have not left the church. We have not changed. If you are teaching this works righteousness kind of thing, you have changed. No new interpretation. So we're going to go back. The church fathers, they teach this as well. Going on, 15. Although this teaching is held in great contempt among untried people, yet it is a matter of experience that weak and terrified consciences find it most comforting and salutary. the conscience cannot come to rest in peace through works, but only through faith. That is, when it is assured and knows that for Christ's sake it has a gracious God, as St. Paul says in Romans 5:1, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God. So they're saying, terrified consciences, weak and terrified consciences, find this preaching that we are doing, they find it of great comfort, and it puts the conscience at rest and peace. Why doesn't works set the conscience at rest?
You don't ever know when you've done enough.
Yeah.
Well, what if I just tell you, here's what you have to do, and then you do it? Then you've done it. I'll give you one, two, three.
You're going to change your mind.
I'm going to change my mind, Brian.
I can knock that list off and hate everything I did while I was doing it.
Whoa. So, yes, Shirley, you're absolutely right.
How do I know I did it well enough?
What is required is far beyond what we can. But even when I knock the list down to size, or tell you this is the most important, as Brian said, even when I get it done, you know, what's going on inside of me?
My conscience.
Yes. Am I thankful? Am I doing it out of love? Did I do this with joy? No. And so what's always going on? This conscience is always... It goes on later, it talks about those who have gone into monasteries thought, you know, oh, if I can just flee this world, I'm going to put myself in a monastery, and then I'll finally get at rest and peace.
What?
I think there's no peace in man-made rules.
Yeah, well, you know, you limit the number of people I get in contact with, you know, so I'm in this monastery, I don't encounter all the sinners, just about... You know, 20 of them, right around. Huh?
Just me is all you need.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Who needs help?
That right there is what brought me to the Lutheran Church.
Oh.
Searching for that peace. I'm not saying the Methodist Church doesn't teach it, but I did not get it. Right. And that searching that peace with God is what brought me to the Lutheran Church. 5 years ago.
Exactly. The... Up at the top a little bit, to kind of go on that, says, we've been teaching this. They haven't been teaching it. Oh, I'm sorry, it's up at about 4. They do not now teach we become righteous before God by our works alone. Now they add faith and say we're saved by faith and works. And they say, well, that offers a little better comfort. But... If you have faith and works...
Then how much works do you have to have?
Yeah.
How much does the faith cover?
The example that I always give is a chain link fence, or a chain link...
Paper chain.
A chain made of links. What happens if you have... God has 99 and I have one I have to do, and that one is my works. All it takes is the weakest link. And that will make the whole thing in doubt.
Why did we really need Christ?
Yeah.
He didn't save us completely. Why? I mean, we still got to work. We still got to earn it. It still comes down to us. Why did we need Christ?
Exactly. Karn?
And truly, if it's just that one link, all of your attention is going to be focused on that one link and yourself. It completely just takes your eyes off of Christ. Mm-hmm. Just that one thing.
Yes, it does. Where if I know that my salvation is taken care of 100%, I'm now free to love, to do. Yes. As we look at this, it talks about Mazda. It talks about other works were designed for earning grace. I'm going to get to this at the end. We'll see how much time we get to put it all together. But let me present to you, and you have to understand when they say all of this, they... The Lutherans are giving us faith alone. What did the Roman Church teach at this time, and how did they respond to this and all? Let me just give you a little preview. The Roman church came and said, when you say that you can earn heaven, merit grace by your works, the Roman church said, you're right, that's not to be, we don't teach that. That's what Pelagius taught, and you condemn that. We condemn that too. We went, oh. So, you know, be careful. You know, you don't want to accuse, you know, your Roman friends of, you know, or it's works alone. Nope, they don't teach that. Here's what they teach. We teach that God gives us grace so that with God's grace and help, you can do good works which will merit salvation. Pelagius taught you could do it apart from grace and without God's help. The Roman church comes and says, we teach that it's by God's grace and God's help that you can do the works that will merit and help and do it. That's what they were getting at when they came to this purpose of earning grace. This is what they did not like about our Augsburg Confession, where we teach it is through faith alone that these things are done. And particularly, I mean, this point about the conscience, this point about peace, this point about setting your mind at rest and saying, yes, I know I'm saved. That's what they're getting at. When they say it's held in great contempt among untried people. What is that? What are they talking about, untried people? This teaching, faith alone, is held in great contempt among untried people.
The ones that don't feel the weight of their sin.
Yep. How come?
Huh. Got it under control.
Right. Oh, they're working. They're working through it.
Hmm. All right, so, Tony Prochaska, you came up in my office this morning. You said, whoa, we got some stuff going on, you know, and you know, all kinds of trials and whatever. And at one point he goes, you know, I'm not quite sure if it's the devil or, well, and he wanted to say God, but he wasn't quite sure that, you know, you ought to tell the pastor, I can't tell if it's the devil or God. You know, that whoa! You're not quite sure you ought to tell the pastor that. Actually, if it's a true trial, that's exactly what happens. I can't tell what's up, right, wrong. I can't tell if God's out to get me or the devil's out to get me or whatever. For people that are untried, they don't know the difference. You go and you say, well, do these works. Oh, yeah, I did these works. I'm saved. Everything's fine. Put yourself, when God tries you or the devil tempts you or both or whatever's happening, you'll get to the point where you'll finally go, I'm just not sure. He's saying they haven't been tested yet. As long as you kind of divorce this from real life, as long as you don't see this, you know, yeah, you everything's fine. What's wrong with this teaching? All right, let's have some sickness hit you. Let's take your job away. Let's have, you know, I mean, all of a sudden you realize what's going on. This faith that we're talking about is a different thing from the faith. Instruction is also given among us to show that faith here spoken of it is not that possessed by the devil and the ungodly. So our confessions say that the devil and the ungodly have a kind of faith. Okay? But we're not talking about that kind of faith. What kind of faith do they mean? Down here on 24 or 25, faith, we do not mean by it such knowledge as the devil and the ungodly men possess. The Roman Church, when they talked about faith, often simply talked about it as what we would call a historical faith. Make note of that. Historical faith. In other words, I know the history. I know that Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate. He died. I know he rose again. There, I got those facts. Check, check, check. Marked them off in my workbook. I'm done. Is that faith? No, that's historical knowledge. Does the devil, do ungodly men, can they acquire this knowledge? Sure. The devil knows for sure who Jesus is. Nevertheless, we are talking about what? Confidence in God. Assurance that God is gracious, not merely this knowledge of historical events. So to simply say, yeah, I know those facts, I must be saved. No, faith actually believes that Jesus died for me, believes that we receive grace and forgiveness of sins through Christ, that God has saved me. So we're talking about that kind of faith. This is not simply a historical knowledge that you kind of go, well, I got that down. Yes, we do have to have some history so that we know what we trust in, who he is and what he has done for us. So they make a distinction between these two kinds of faith. Questions? 27. It's also taught among us that good works should and must be done. Should and must be done. Think about that. True or false? Good works should and must be done. Yeah, I mean, that you pull that aside, you know, and I wonder sometimes, you know, if we haven't done a real good job as Lutherans in teaching, that we make sure that people know, no, we're not weak on good works. Should they be done? Yes. Must they be done? Yes, God has given that. No, the law always shows us our sins. What do we go on to say? Not that we are to rely on them to earn grace. That's our point. Well, didn't God give the Ten? Yes, he did. They should and must be done. But we don't rely on the keeping of them. We don't rely upon them for salvation. Not at all. Concerning those, note that we may do God's will and glorify him. So let me put the sentence. Good works should and must be done that we may do God's will and glorify him. True. You might remember we had I pulled it out of Augsburg Confession Article 6 when we were talking about obedience, and I said we must do good works for God's sake. And all of you went, I don't know about that, Pastor. I go, it's a quote. Now, what did the rest of the sentence say? We must do God's works for God's sake and not to merit salvation. So they put those two as being different. You know, for God's sake is simply, you know, out of love, out of God's will. The other is, for my sake is kind of what they're saying. Like, I need this to get to heaven. No, not that. And so we're not weak on this. Good works, they must be done. But it's always faith alone that apprehends grace and forgiveness of sins. We distinguish these. Law and gospel. That helps us to open up and make sense of the entire scripture. They move on. 29. When through faith the Holy Spirit is given, the heart is moved to do good works. Before that, when it is without the Holy Spirit, the heart is too weak.
Which really brings us to the point, who's doing the good works?
Uh-huh. Yeah. What do they mean the heart's too weak? We talked about good things. You know, you put on your clothes, you get up and you go to church. Ah, yeah. What do you mean about the heart's too weak? Go over and take out your neighbor's trash. Hey, what is all this about the heart? And it's too weak to do it apart from faith and the Holy Spirit.
Concupiscence.
I just overcame my concupiscence and went over and took my neighbor's trash out.
No, you didn't.
What now?
And then it overcame you again.
Uh-oh.
Well, we just prideful. We're doing it for our own reasons. Not we cannot on our own do it as a good work that is pleasing to God. Our motives are always selfish.
Uh-huh. Motives. What kind of motives are we needing?
We want to think well of ourselves rather than, and maybe somebody will notice that we took the garbage.
Sometimes that's exactly what I'm doing.
Tell your wife about it when you get back inside so she can she can praise you for your good.
All right, so yeah, I mean, let's throw out a bunch of these. So I go over and take out my neighbor's trash so everybody else sees, right? I rattle it quite a bit so everybody wakes up, sees me taking it out, right? Yeah, so I can do it to be seen. I can take out my own trash. You know why? It stinks. You know, I don't want to stink. So, you know, is that a good work? Well, no, why do I do this? Because I don't want stink in my garage. I mean, I don't know, good or not. It's just, you know, anybody else would do this. So do I need this heart? I mean, yeah, I can do this to please others. I can do this so that I benefit. I can do this so that God takes me into heaven. Any of those things automatically decline it as a good work. So what about this motivation? Then where did this come?
Well, it goes back up. You're not doing it. You're not doing it to glorify God. And you have to have the Holy Spirit in order to do it to glorify God.
Correct. Now, the phrase glorify God is exactly the way the Augsburg Confession speaks. When we say glorify God, we mean that this has to happen what? After I'm saved. Because I want to, by doing this, who gets the credit? God gets all the credit, Pastor Un says. So who's doing this? Well, when I get done, I say all thanks be to God. That's one of the ways in which we speak. The only way it can be a good work, the heart's too weak, is that the person does it simply out of love for God, out of thankfulness that God's already saved me. I just want to please him. That's it. Now, that doesn't sound like such a great distinction. But the heart has to know that.
It's helpful for me to always say it's the Holy Spirit in me. Because any time I start looking at myself, then I waver again. Mm-hmm. And I'm, you know, I know the Lord is sanctifying me and making changes in me. But I just never want to go there to dwell on that too much. I always just want to put my trust in him because when I look at myself, all I see is weakness.
Right. And so we have to discuss it. We have to discuss what that means, you know, with that. But I think at the same time, you know, am I questioning myself at every time? Am I trying to say, well, what kind of motivation, you know, am I having? You know, I'm looking at my neighbor's trash. Am I doing this because of, you know, my... I just forget it. Just go take out the trash. What, you know, what's the problem here? Afterwards, you know what? Afterwards, you can say, yeah, Lord, that wasn't a good thing I did. but, you know, yeah, I mean, you're never going to, as long as we're questioning ourselves. Claire?
I see as all good works are being done unconsciously.
Yes.
But when we don't even think about it, we just naturally do it. It's the Spirit working in us. The minute we start thinking, well... it's not a good work.
Usually my thinking leads to manipulation. And then whether I manipulate you, me, God, whatever I'm doing, you know, it's almost better if you're right. I just...
that's the heart doing it then.
Pastor?
One of the problems here is that we don't realize how sinful we are. Because I think Paul says something about us being dead in our trespasses and sins. He doesn't say that we're going to die. He says we are dead. Well, if you're dead in your trespasses and sin, what does dead do?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. So who is doing any good that comes out of our bodies? Not us. We're dead.
Karn?
What Claire said goes right with the whole story of the sheep and the goats. Mm-hmm. The sheep go, when did we do that?
Yeah.
It's unconscious. We don't know it. Mm-hmm.
Now, note the similarity, but you tell me what the difference is. What's the similarity between the Roman Church says, oh no, you can't do this by yourself, but God gives you your grace and then you do it to merit salvation. And we come along and say, no, you can't do it by yourself, but through faith and the Holy Spirit, you are able to do good works.
The word merit.
Yeah, merit.
You note the distinction. It's sound, there's three parts of sound, but what's the deal? You don't merit salvation, whether it's before you're saved or after you're saved. That is the problem with this. So, Pastor Rin says, who's doing this? Well, if it's God doing it, you can't do it before. So it's got to happen after, and that's what the Holy Spirit is doing what? He's strengthening the heart. He's helping it so that you actually, what? I come to church. You're trying to save yourself? No, just come to church. Why? Well, God said. So why? Well, note this last. 35, consequently, this teaching concerning faith is not to be accused of forbidding good works. So we say, absolutely not. We tell people to do good works all the time. But is rather to be praised for teaching that good works are to be done and for offering help as to how they may be done.
But you don't have any, there's never any mention in here by the Lutherans of good works meriting anything. See, that's our problem, because when we start thinking about good works, hey, I got something coming for that. That's just part of our makeup. I've got something coming for that.
Good point. So, let's deal with those external works that someone apart from faith, whatever, can do. That external work is, I can take the trash out to the road. Do I merit something for taking the trash out to the road externally? Yeah, my nose is clear. The stink goes out to the road, and the garage smells pretty good now. In this world, those things work. But like you said, but note in here, before God, nothing. Right? If I set the table, my wife smiles at me and likes me. I merit stuff in this world. Before God, set the table all you want. There's a difference. But what do the Lutherans do? Not only do we teach good works are to be done, we actually give you the teaching as to how they may be done. And how are they done? By faith. The Holy Spirit. We show you how you can be set free from your conscience so that what you do is simply a thanksgiving in response. If you're always trying to get something, it's not a good work. We show you how they may be done. Real good works. Wow. The church down the street has the program, and we're all going to go and do this, and we're going to do it this way, and we set it out, and when they get done, they say, see all this, we can count all the things that are greater, and how many people are more reading the Bible, and how many people are doing this, and so how are you guys doing? And I go, I set them free every week. I show them their sin, and I set them free. So how many are reading the Bible? I don't know, but if any of them read the Bible, at that point, it becomes a good work. Because they're free. They don't have to. I didn't give them a list. I didn't check it off. I didn't do, I can cause a whole lot more action to happen by giving you the law. But if I give you the gospel, you're free.
I think these tests are law.
They are law. You are right. The tests are all law. Brian.
See how pure your heart is once you take the neighbor's trash out and listen to him complain about how you put the cans back up against his house and see how pure your heart is.
Yeah. Last part. For without faith and without Christ, human nature and human strength are much too weak to do good works. And then they go on to talk about, you remember that list at the beginning? They have monasteries and rosaries and all this, whatever. Listen to the, when the Lutherans give you a list of good works, here's what they could say. Call upon God. Have patience in suffering. Love one's neighbor. Diligently engage in callings which are commanded. Render obedience. Avoid evil lusts, etc.
Now who can do that?
Now who can? Yeah, I mean, what do we have? We have a list. It's not just, you can't check these things off. And when you look at these, you kind of go, you know, whoa, now I see what you mean about this heart. Stephen.
Well, when I think about this, you know, we always tend to talk about it individually when, you know, I'm doing good works. But in this world, you know, who sets the bar? It's really a holistic look. Who sets the bar? I mean, Tony's going to do something different than I do. You know, he's going to do it better. So am I really saving myself by doing the same good work because I'm not going to do it as good as Tony? You know, who sets the bar?
Exactly. These things that it talks about, you know, are things that are having patience and suffering. You know, this isn't, you know, okay, we got a new program. We're all going to be patient and suffering. How, you know, let's go suffer and we'll have all of these things. And I think this is a bit what Claire is getting at when she talks about you'd go about these almost unthinking. If you can put the list together of the things that you're going to do and you're going, it's all your, you've made it up and you've decided when and where and what you are doing. What I often find is the things that I, that God is giving me to do, it comes upon me, right? I didn't set out to have patience in suffering. The suffering came and then I was called upon to be patient. I didn't say, oh, I'm going to call upon God, I'm going to. No, the disaster hit, and I went, oh, Lord. You know, where did that come from? It wasn't a checklist, right? In your vocation, yes, I'm going to be a pastor, right? And then, you know, four people get sick, and you're going here, and you're going here, and you're kind of going, what? Well, no, that's what God gave me to do this week. Okay. For you, you also may kind of go, well, yeah, I was going to be a parent, but I didn't think it involved this. Usually it's the stuff, the, you know, avoid evil lusts. Who sets out to, you know, I mean, it hits you when you're not looking. Maybe you are looking. That's less.
You know, part of the problem here also is that when you measure these things, the person who's suffering, how patient are they? Now, your husband or wife may look at you and say, well, you're not very patient at all. Yeah. Or they may say, how can you be so patient in that suffering? This stuff is all so immeasurable that to claim them as good works is ludicrous. Because nobody can measure how patient I've been, or how much I love my neighbor, or my wife, or my husband, whatever it is. Nobody can measure how diligent I am in my calling. You see, those things are immeasurable. And hence, we don't even know when we sin, or don't sin.
When we stop and try to measure,
we're
probably sinning.
Right. And when we try to measure it, then we go wrong.
And that's our nature, is to want to measure.
Right.
So as a pastor, I've been given a job, the results of which are unmeasurable. You know, sometimes I look at other people's vocations and I look at, you know, your job is a builder. And when you're done, you build the house, and then you see the house, and you say, I did that. That's done. Like Luther, who says, Melanchthon and I preached the word, and then we went down and drank good Wittenberg beer while the Holy Spirit does his work. You know, I preach the word, and after that, it's out of my control. I can't do, you know. So my wife says, "Why do you like this aquarium at home?" I go, "I can control everything that happens in that." I finally got something where I can control this. Because I got a job in which most of my life I can't control. I don't know what, I just do it.
But what do you do when your fish dies?
Yeah, that's what I was
My conscience is not at peace. I just said that.
And that's the pitfall when you think you're controlling.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. Watch out. Lightning's going to hit.
That's right.
Yeah, everybody wants to be in control.
That's right.
But then, where does the buck stop? Yeah. Brian?
We don't want to throw out all measures of discipline in our life in this process. You know, I want my pastor to be in God's word reading, not go, "I didn't matter," and I want to do daily devotions with my family, and I want to come to catechesis on Wednesday. We shouldn't fall off the horse on the other side and say, "We're not going to have any discipline, we're not going to read God's word, we're not going to do anything." I mean, some things we make ourselves do. A lot of times I do daily devotions, I don't want to do them. But you do it. You just, you know.
Well,
it's not a good work per se, but there is discipline in your life that you still need to maintain. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Faith doesn't free us from the law.
Faith doesn't free us from this earthly life. Okay? So, if I look at myself and say, you know, I have no pure desire to take out the trash, you know, my wife still wants me to take it out. She doesn't care. Right? I don't feel very loving. I still want dinner on the table. Your job, your boss doesn't really care. He wants it. In this world, those things are still there. We're talking about merit before God. Do any of those things merit before God? Absolutely not. And yet, even these things can be done as a pleasing to God. So no, I'm not going to get rid of all discipline either. Even in religious things, in fact, I'm going to say, let me ask Brian, how is doing devotions when you don't feel like it? Is that a good work?
You don't, it's something you need to do.
My answer is it doesn't matter. I'm going to do it.
It's a whole lot easier to do good. It's a whole lot easier to do devotions when you're excited about God and everything's on fire and whatever. And when you do devotions when you don't feel like it, that's probably the patience and suffering. That's probably actually more of a good work than the... I mean, think about, the heart was strong enough to say, even when I don't feel like... Even when I go home and go, "I didn't get anything out of that service. But I went, and I'm going to go in again next Sunday."
We're looking at the wrong thing again, because whether we get anything out of the service or we want to do devotions, the fact of the matter is we still hear the word. Yes. The Lord still works.
Thank you.
We keep looking at the wrong thing.
Shelly?
My little 8-year-old granddaughter asked me last night. We were sitting playing dominoes or cards or something. And she said, "Do you have to go to church to be saved?" I said, "No, going to church is not saved. But it does increase your faith." She was actually asking me questions about her grandfather when this came up.
So, yep. So, again, context. What are we talking about? Are we talking about can you be saved apart from Christ? No. Are you talking about this is a good work by going, you know, that merits? No. In that way, you say, no, I don't. Why do you go to church? We get to go to church. It all depends on the question. Let's stop there. We'll come back. We'll take a look at 21 and the summary of the first part of the Augsburg Confession. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have shown us our sins. Even the law so shows the depth of our sin, our concupiscence, original sin. Nevertheless, you have, through the gospel, created faith. You've strengthened our heart. We ask, dear Lord, that we might lovingly, thankfully, seek about glorifying you with our actions and our words. But we ask, dear Lord, that we might never trust in those works, rely upon them. For you have provided our salvation in your Son, Jesus, and it's in his name that we pray. Amen.